Hello, and thank you for listening to this week's podcast from our gathered services at Cross Point Church, South Orlando. We pray that God uses today's message to help fix your eyes and hearts on Christ. If you have any questions about what it means to follow Jesus, or you want to learn more about Cross Point Church, please visit us at xpoint.com. That's xpoint.com. And we pray that you enjoy today's message. Good morning, Cross Point, and thank you so much for joining us online this morning. Today, we are concluding our six-week series that we've entitled Renewed, Cultivating Our Hearts for Transformation. This has been taken from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. As we've dug deep into these verses and explored what does it mean to cultivate our hearts for renewal, that my prayer is that you realize this isn't something that we're going to just look at for 6 weeks and then be done, move on, let's go study something else. But really that this is an opportunity. Renewal is a lifelong journey of surrender to Jesus. And because of that, next week we're going to be starting a 15-week series called Songs on the Road to Renewal. See, if we picture renewal as a journey, as a pilgrimage, not just a quick errand to the grocery store to pick something up and then go on about our life, but that this is a journey. My prayer is that this current series has helped prepare your hearts for understanding what renewal is. And then I want to follow that up with how do we pursue that together? Because God gave songs. He gave a playlist, a hymnal, a mixtape, however you want to say it. He gave this set of songs to the Hebrews to be sung as they journeyed on a similar journey. Three times a year, Hebrews would journey from their home to the temple, and God gave them songs to sing, to cultivate their hearts along the journey as they were preparing to meet with God. These are called the Psalms of Ascent. They're Psalm 120 through Psalm 134. And we're going to take the next 15 weeks, starting next week, to go through these 15 Psalms together. And my prayer is that they become a chorus that accompany us together on this road to renewal together. So this is my hope and prayer. So thank you for joining us today. I pray that you join us for these coming weeks as we start this new series. I'm super excited to see what God is going to be doing in and through us together in this season. So if you will, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3, verses, we're going to start right back in 14 through 21. We'll be focusing here at the end. And so let me read this, but I want to read it as a prayer over us this morning. These verses are Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus, and they have been my prayer for Cross Point. And so let's read this together. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. And I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, that he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts. As you trust in him, your roots will grow down deep into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. And may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think, Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is God's word. This is our hope for renewal. And what we've done over these past 6 weeks is to dig deep into these verses, to explore what they mean. Typically, we go through books of the Bible, and this is why I love God's Word, because sometimes I love seeing the big themes that cross authors and millennia and cultures, and we see the fingerprints of God throughout all of that, right? And so we can see these themes in Scripture, but then we can also drill down. We can focus on a single word and see that its beauty and complexity matches those themes. And again, we see God's fingerprints in the largest of details and in the smallest of details. And I pray that as we've done this, maybe it's stirred within you a desire to study God's word, to take those times to dig deep. But I want to just review for us what we've looked at in these previous 5 weeks as we bring that to a conclusion today. Because see, we've talked about cultivating our hearts for renewal. It's not something that we can do. It's something that God does in us, right? This is for his name's sake. It's something that he accomplishes. We can't work for it. And so we cultivate our hearts before God. And it begins, now when I think of all this, see, there is that question of, are we thinking about this? Like, do we think deeply about the gospel? Are we meditating on it? Are we studying it? Because Paul's saying, look, when I think of all this, this is how it began, right? And he says, I fall to my knees and pray that the journey towards renewal begins with repentance in prayer. This is where the journey begins. It doesn't begin with our striving. It doesn't begin with all the things that we accomplish. It begins with repentance, falling to our knees, and praying. And this is how we begin to cultivate our hearts. And then, if you will, if it's a garden that we're going to be tending, the garden of our heart, it says the soil into which we plant our hope for renewal is the glorious, unlimited resources of God. This is what we looked at in week two, right? This is the soil. It is from him. This is where we place our hope. And then what happens, our hope for renewal is what we looked at in week three, is not simply that seed is going to grow bigger, but that seed that we plant is going to die and be transformed into something new. And this is exactly what God does within us. The hope of our renewal is in what is Paul's first petition for the church in Ephesus, that they would be strengthened in their inner being. That this is God's strength at work. And we talked about that inner being the mind, the heart, and the hands. That this is in our thinking, the transformation of our minds, our understanding, the transformation of our affections, the transformation of our obedience and will and actions before a holy God. All of these things are transformed by him and for him. Right? And then that second petition of where he goes on, that we are strengthened, we experience that strength so that we might understand and experience the love of God. That we would know it, even though it's too great for us to fully understand. That even though it's so massive, so high, so long, so wide, we'll never fully comprehend it, but all that we would understand it a little bit more. Right? Yeah, just so I just want to understand more, God. I want to experience your love more. This is the hope. This is the prayer. And that this leads to being filled with the fullness of God. This is what it looks like then for us to die to ourselves, to be transformed, to begin to grow, to see that growth happening as we are filled with the fullness of God. I love Justin's illustration of the sand from the Sahara Desert filling up the jar. And the jar is filled, but it could never contain all of the sands of the Sahara. And so it is with God, that we are filled in these earthen vessels with the fullness of God. We are filled, and as we grow, we're continually filled. But it could never contain all the fullness of God. Only Jesus Christ could do that. And so the question is this: if we are cultivating our hearts for renewal, if we are experiencing that transformation and that growth, then the question is, what fruit is produced from renewal? What is the fruit that we are producing? Because the danger in this is that we begin to think that, oh, renewal is about, the ultimate goal of renewal is my personal sanctification. It's my personal growth. It's my personal happiness or transformation. Renewal is about me. But if that is our view, that is a very self-centered, man-centered view of renewal. And that is not what we see here in this passage. What we're going to see here in this passage is that so much more is at stake. That what you are being called to in this journey towards renewal is not about you. It is about the glory of God. That is what is at stake. That is the fruit that is produced through our renewal. It is the glory of God. The goal, if I could say today's sermon in a single sentence, it's this: the fruit of renewal is the glory of God and the joy of all peoples. This is today's sermon in one sentence. But then it raises the question, what exactly does it mean to glorify God? Like, if you had to explain this to somebody, if you had to illustrate it, what does it mean to glorify God? One of the greatest examples I've heard to describe this, to illustrate this, is from pastor and author John Piper. And he talks about, there's two different ways. Like, when we look at the word to glorify, especially here in this passage, and in Greek, it's doxa. It's where we get the word doxology, to together, to praise, to glorify the name of Jesus at the conclusion. This is what a doxology is. And so doxa is to glorify God, to magnify the name of Jesus. But Piper points out that there's two different ways that we can think of magnification. One is with a microscope, right? And you take something that's tiny and you look at it through the microscope, and it helps you to see its intricacies, that it makes it bigger than it really is. This is not the kind of magnification to glorify God is referring to. See, on the other hand, there's another kind of magnification that isn't done by a microscope, but it's done by a telescope. It takes something that in our minds may appear small, and it helps us to see it for what it truly is. So, for instance, one of my favorite constellations in the night sky is Orion's Belt. I've loved this for years and for many reasons, but they simply look like a pinhole in the tapestry of the night sky. Right? Like they appear little, this dot in the distance. But in reality, one of the stars at the end of Orion's Belt is called Rigel. And here's the thing about it. Though it appears as a dot in the sky, in reality, it's 20 times the size of our sun. Think about that. It is 20 times larger than our sun, and it's 300,000 times brighter. This is a magnificent, magnificent star, right? But though to us in the night sky, it appears as just a dot. And see, a telescope helps us to appreciate its true size, its true value, its true beauty and magnitude of how it really is. It helps us to understand that more. In our lives are meant to serve like a telescope, to show the true value and beauty of God, right? That in some people's mind, God appears small, insignificant. And through our lives, in magnifying the name of Jesus, it is showing His true value, His true worth, His true beauty. This is what it means to glorify God, to magnify His name together. And that's what we're going to be looking at in today's passage. How then do we magnify the name of Jesus through renewal? And notice what it says. We're going to be looking at verses 20 and 21 today. Now all glory to God. See, it's all to His glory. It's not about us. It's not like, experience this renewal. Like, He's strengthened your inner being. He's rooted you in the knowledge and experience of His love. He's filled you with His fullness. Now, go be a great person. No. It's saying, now all glory to God. It is ultimately to the end of praising the name of Jesus. This is the goal. This is the fruit of renewal. But why? Why is this the case? What is happening here? Because it says He is able. He's the one who's able. He's the one who's done the work, not you. It was through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more. Think of the words that are just being over the top here. That this is, He's the one who's able. It is His mighty power. He can do infinitely more than you could think or imagine. It reminds me of a small little book that J.B. Phillips wrote called Your God is Too Small. And I wonder if this is true for some of us, if maybe in our own minds, God is like just a pinprick in the sky. He's small. There's a lot of other things going on, and I'll think about Him on Sunday, look at the night sky, and then go on about our life. But do we really focus? Do we really dig in and say, when I think of all this, look at His beauty, look at His value, look at His worth? Because J.B. says this in that little book, God will inevitably appear to disappoint the man who is attempting to use God as a convenience, as a prop, or a comfort for his own plans. God has never been known to disappoint the man who is sincerely wanting to cooperate with God's own purposes. See, here's the thing. I wonder if God is small in your mind, is insignificant, if maybe you've lost some of the wonder, maybe you've lost some of that it is to His glory, it is to His name, because He is able, because He is mighty, because He can do infinitely more, because you've simply used God as a prop for your own personal gain. You've used Him to accomplish your own purposes, but you have never surrendered to God fully according to His purposes and His plans. I've heard people say that they've tried God, they've tried other things, they tried God, it didn't work, so now they're trying something else, because they attempted to use God for their own gain rather than surrendering to them in all of life, rather than falling to their knees in surrender. They've merely used Him. And we diminish who God really is when we treat Him as a convenience or a prop. Is your God too small? I pray that He breaks out of the confinement that you've placed Him in and the means that you've used Him for your own end, and you surrender to the magnitude of who He truly is. This is what it means, that God would loom large in our minds. It reminds me of a song by the Statler Brothers, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me, I Hide Myself in Thee. Like, God isn't just a pinprick. I see Him as a mountain into which I hide, a cleft in the rock into which I curl against the winds of this world, and I find safety and protection in the mountain of our God. This is who our God is. He is bigger, infinitely, infinitely greater than we could ever think or imagine. But think about this. How do we glorify God according to these verses? It's like, we're called to magnify the name of Jesus. Like, it's like, okay, He's great, He's beautiful, and now I'm called to magnify Him? See, the danger is that we think about, okay, now what are we going to do? Now, if I do this for God, is that going to magnify Him? If I do that, I can magnify Him? Like, what am I supposed to do? and think about what this is saying. Let's think through this passage and how God is glorified. See, when we cease the striving in the performance and we fall to our knees, God is glorified. When we don't just seek to pull ourselves up from the bootstraps, but we look to God for our strength, God is glorified. When we stop drinking from the empty wells this world offers us and we drink from the glorious, unlimited resources of God, God is glorified. When we admit our weaknesses and allow God to strengthen us in our inner being, God is glorified. When we are no longer distracted and God causes our roots to sink deep into His love, to experience His love, God is glorified. When we see our emptiness and we look to God and experience Him filling us with His fullness, God is glorified. What have we done for God? In this list of things, what have we done for God? Nothing. Right? Isn't it staggering? Like, we fell to our knees and prayed and said, God, you are the one who are sufficient. You are the one from your resources that I want to drink. It is into you that, Lord, would you cause my roots to sink deep by your strengthening at work in me. Lord, would you do this? Lord, would you cultivate me? Would you transform me? Would you fill me? God has done it all, and He gets the glory. We are merely recipients. And I think that this is so, so important, because for many of you, you feel weak, you feel tired, you're exhausted, life's beating you down, you look and you're like, I'm just a bunch of broken pieces. And then you hear me saying that our call, our end in life, the goal of renewal is ultimately the glory of God. And if you're not careful, you're going to begin to think that this is just one more list that you were supposed to do, and it feels overwhelming. And you're like, you're adding one more thing on an ever-growing list of failures. How can I stand up? And it becomes one more weight for you to bear. But this would be a wrong, wrong perspective of renewal. That renewal is about what God is doing in us, and He gets the glory. Right? I said it at the beginning of this series. I think it was in week two, that sometimes we could see our brokenness, our fear, our anxiety, just the inadequacy that we feel. We could see that as a hindrance, an obstacle to renewal. But in reality, I believe that it is God's providential hand bringing us to the starting line of the journey toward renewal. This is where renewal begins, is when we come to the end of ourselves. When we say, I'm just broken pieces, God. When we come and we fall to our knees and we say, I got nothing. What do I have to offer you? It is all of you. It is all for you. It is all to you. Lord, would you be at work within me? Would you strengthen me when I feel weak? Would you help my roots to go down deep because I feel stagnant? God, would you fill me because I feel empty? I feel helpless. And as we fall to our knees and as we pray and describe our absolute need and dependence for God, He is glorified. He does all the work, not us. This is phenomenal. This is what it means to be called into renewal. This is it. And that's how God is glorified. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Like, we magnify the name of Jesus when we look to Him as our sole sufficiency. When we say, my satisfaction is in Christ alone. Nothing else will satisfy. So Lord, would you fill me? Would you renew me? And as He does, He gets the glory. But here's the thing, it's not just us. It's not even just through us. God is the one who is glorified in our lives individually. He gets the glory as we are personally renewed. But then we also see that it continues. In verse 21, glory to him in the church, and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. See, we might just think, oh, this is the end of the prayer. And in many ways, it is the doxology of both the prayer and what has preceded in chapters 1, 2, and 3. But notice what it says, because so much more, this is bringing to conclusion what Paul has already said earlier in his letter to the church to Ephesus. See, glory to God in the church, not just in you, but in us. Right? In us together, as we are growing, as we are assembled and being renewed together, to God be the glory in the church. See, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 says this: as you come to him, meaning Jesus, he is a living stone because he rose from the dead. This living stone of Christ was rejected by men, but in the sight of God, he was chosen and precious. You yourselves are also like living stones, and you're being built into a spiritual house, a spiritual family, to be a holy priesthood and to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. See, we are being built together into an assembly, into a gathering, into a community that exists to glorify God. As we are renewed, God is the one who is glorified. And we see this earlier. Paul has said this even more explicitly in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. He says, God's purpose was that we Jews, because Paul was a Jew, writing to Jews who were the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. So there were Jews who trusted in Jesus, and this brought glory to God. But that wasn't all. There was more. And it says, and now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own, as sons and daughters, by giving you the Holy Spirit whom he promised long ago. And the Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised, and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify him. See, God drew together not just one ethnicity, but in our diversity, in our differences, God is glorified. This is what it's saying in our assembly, that as we surrender together to one King, one Lord, Jesus Christ, he is glorified in and through the church, and that he's glorified in Jesus. Like the Son, this is what it says in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. The Son, Jesus, he radiates God's own glory, like a million infinity times greater even than the star regal, right? He radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than all other names. Right? That what we see here is God is glorified in Christ. That through his sacrifice to save us, through him strengthening us, through him filling us, through his life, death, in resurrection, when he died on the cross, absorbing God's wrath for our sin, God was glorified. And when Jesus rose from the dead, it says he sat down. This was like the physical demonstration of when he said, "It is finished. The work is done. We have been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, and the work is done. It is finished." And God is glorified. He's glorified in our renewal, he's glorified in the church, and he's glorified in Jesus Christ. And this is so forever and ever endeavor. Amen. All right, God's glory extends for all eternity. Our renewal is not just about the here and now. It is not just so you have a little bit more strength for today, though He does give us strength. The ultimate end of renewal is the glory of God. It is His glory, and that will extend forever and ever and ever. Right? Like, think about this. Like, our pursuit, that there's so many things that we can pursue that fade, pass away. They're temporal. But as we pursue to have our satisfaction in Christ and Christ alone, the glory that He receives through that extends for all eternity. Like, I pray that we feel the weight and the joy of that. That He is infinite, all-powerful, burning as the radiant sun, the fullness of God, and that our lives would be like a telescope to help people see just a little more clearly how big, how beautiful He truly is. See, in our weakness, when we look to Jesus for strength, He's glorified. In our exhaustion, in our failures, when we look to Jesus for our renewal and our victory, He's glorified. When we mourn our sin and we look to Jesus as our sufficient Savior, He's glorified. We magnify the name of Jesus. And in our thirst and in our need, when we say Jesus is the living water, I look to Him and Him alone for my satisfaction, God is glorified. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in Him. This is such a beautiful, beautiful reality. The fruit of renewal is the glory of God and the joy of all peoples. I pray that this is our desire in these coming weeks. Like, for the application, it's the same thing that we've talked about earlier. Would you be praying for this? Like, in your own heart. Like, ask God to cultivate your own desire. Are you looking to Jesus for your satisfaction? Are you surrendered to Him? Are you merely using Him as a prop and a convenience for your own plans in life? Or are you humbling yourself before Him and saying, it's your name, it's your purposes, use my life for your glory. Don't try to use God for your own glory. Pray for your heart in this, and then pray for one another. So I said daily, pray for yourself and pray for one another. Pick a name off of our church directory, pray for them. And then every week, would you give somebody a call? Would you write them a note and just let them know that, hey, I'm praying for you. I'm praying that God would strengthen you, that He would renew you, that your roots would sink deep and to know the love of God. Like, would you send somebody a text? Give them a call? Write them a note? Like, we should be praying for this for one another. Because as we pursue this together, God is glorified. And then each month, would you invite somebody over? Would you say that, hey, like, let's have dinner, let's grab dessert? Like, this is an opportunity for us to be the church together. And I pray that what has started in this current series would bring us, like, packing our bags for the journey that lay ahead. That's my prayer. And in these coming weeks, as we continue and we say, these are the songs that we're going to listen to and sing together as we walk in this journey of surrender before Holy God so that our lives magnify the name of Jesus Christ. This is our heart and prayer. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for this opportunity to study your word. Lord, I pray that you would use our lives for your glory. Lord, that together as a church, as Crosspoint, you would be glorified. Lord, would you bring us to a place of humbleness before you, to fall to our knees and to seek you, and that, Lord, as you do your work in us, may we not use you for our own ends, but may we surrender ourselves under your authority for the glory of your name. And Lord, we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for taking the time to listen to today's message. We pray that it was a blessing in your life. And if you do have any questions about what it means to follow Jesus or about Crosspoint Church, please visit us at xpoint.com. And please feel free to subscribe to this podcast. We are updating these messages every week following our gatherings on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Thank you, and have a great week.